The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Amateur Traveler, episode 734. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about castles and zeppelins, freedom and occupation, the Hanseatic League, and a hill of crosses as we go to Lithuania. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Lithuania. I'd like to welcome back to the show Jay from jwaytravel.com, who's come to talk to us about Lithuania. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And I say welcome back to the show. Jay has been on once before talking about Croatia, which is where J-Way Travel, which focuses on travel in Central and Eastern Europe, got started. And then we've also had a couple experiences. Just for full disclosure here, I've used J-Way for a couple different trips, and we'll talk about that later on in the show, including one of the Amateur Traveler trips. So, Jay, why should someone go to Lithuania?
Well, Lithuania, I must say, is one of my personal favorite countries. I actually spent a month there this past summer. And for being such a small country, there's really a lot to see there and really sort of a lot of different experiences you can enjoy. And I think it gives people an opportunity to go somewhere a little bit unusual that's not so often visited, especially by Americans, but a place that really has a solid tourist infrastructure. So you can certainly get around well. It's site-wise, there's plenty to see. And I think the tourist board does a really good job there. So they're very welcoming to tourists as well. Of course, it was a former USSR republic, which makes it exciting. But at the same time, it's still a very safe, clean, and well-developed place. So I think you get a mix of sort of the modern, but you also do get that communist flavor and history. But you can really see how quickly the country has grown in the 30 years since the fall of communism. With that, it does bring also some reasonable prices, which is great. Everybody loves that, being more Eastern European, although I would almost not classify it as Eastern European, more just in the way it is developed. And we do find a lot of people come for family heritage type trips to trace their roots, that sort of thing. So again, there's really a lot to see across the country for a small country of its size. You've got the capital of Vilnius, which is first and foremost where you'd want to start. Then there's also a couple of other secondary towns we recommend visiting.
Well, and let's talk about that. What is your recommended itinerary?
Okay, yeah, glad to go through that. So a typical itinerary, I mean, the main airport is in Vilnius, so you would typically start an itinerary there. We would have people spend probably 3 nights in Vilnius, mm-hmm. covering the major sites there. Plenty to see in Vilnius. And then you would move on to the former capital of Kaunas, which is kind of a more, what I'd call maybe more local business city. So you get a more authentic experience, I'd say, there. And then Lithuania also has a coast to it on the Baltic Sea. So we typically have people spend some time in a city called Klaipeda, which is at the start of the Curonian Spit, which I will get into a little bit later. But that would be a typical itinerary highlighted by those three cities, but also visiting some stops along the way.
Excellent. Well, let's jump into that. Then you started us in Vilnius.
Sure. So in Vilnius, like I said, probably have people spend about 3 nights. Very compact city, primarily made up of the old town, which is very much walkable, very colorful, cobblestone streets, very charming, but still pretty expansive. So you could certainly spend a day there. Places you want to see in the old town and surroundings. One definite, which I think I mentioned before, kind of getting a glimpse into the communist past would be the Museum of Occupation, mm-hmm. or the KGB Museum, which is actually housed in a former KGB prison. So, yeah, pretty eye-opening experience. You go into the basement there, into the cells, and really get a feel for what people went through during the communist time. So really well-done museums with, I think, 4 or 5 floors of exhibits. So a definite spot to give you a glimpse into the past. You definitely want to hike up. It's a bit of a trek, but there's a spot that's on the top of one of the hills overlooking the city. It's called the Hill of Three Crosses. And okay. when you reach the top there, you'll find three giant crosses. But the main attraction is just the view over the city, which is really spectacular. There's a couple other viewpoints. You can go to the Gediminas Castle, another good hike. So you'll be doing some walking in Vilnius for sure. You definitely want to get out to Ujipish, which is basically a self-proclaimed separate republic within Vilnius. And essentially, you cross a bridge. They've got a passport control spot where they'll stamp your passport. Of course, it's fictitious, but they really do believe it. And it's, well, I say it's fictitious, but there's actually sort of a government, and it is for fun, but they take it pretty seriously. There's like a constitution, which is on one of the walls of the city. So a very quirky place, very sort of alternative bohemian place that is set upon a river. So really picturesque as well. So you definitely want to check that out.
It reminds me of the Christiana neighborhood in Copenhagen.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right.
Just without all the the weed.
Okay, fair enough.
And then there's the very impressive Cathedral Square, which houses a tower there. That was the other spot I was mentioning for some really good views over the city and the cathedral itself. Mm-hmm. So that's spectacular to see. You can go a little bit outside the center to the TV tower, which I quite enjoyed and did on one of my later trips to Vilnius. I had been there a few times and hadn't visited, but I definitely recommend it. Another communist landmark, which gives you really a good feel for the outskirts of Vilnius. So I think that's worth a look.
I want to say something about the cathedral before you move on. It might come as a surprise to people because we are relatively far east, but we're not talking about an Orthodox cathedral, but Lithuania has often been closely associated with Poland politically, sure. off and on over the years, and it is predominantly Roman Catholic.
Absolutely, yeah. That's certainly the Polish influence because they were occupied by Poland, and you can see it in the mm-hmm. city, that, and obviously being a neighbor of Poland. So other than that, there's a great area, again, a little bit outside the center, I hope I can pronounce it right, Zvirnas. Maybe the Lithuanian listeners can correct me, but
really I'll get the email.
Sort of, yeah, local area with these great wooden houses and really cool architecture and kind of colorful. That kind of covers Vilnius, so definitely a couple of full days there.
And with Zvirnas, which I'm not going to do any better job pronouncing it, that is just some place you're recommending we go and go for a walk? There's not a particular site we're going to see there?
Not a particular site. It's okay. Just a few different blocks of these wooden houses. So just a place to take a stroll just outside okay. the old town. So definitely walkable, maybe an hour in the neighborhood to see the area. And there's kind of connects to one of the bigger parks in Vilnius. So definitely something worth to see. For sure.
Okay. And then while we're in Vilnius, are there any other sites that we should see in the city first?
No, I think covered everything. Just little areas of the old town. I mean, there's one section called the Glass Quarter, which is actually the former Jewish ghetto.
Okay.
Really pretty, really nice little cafes and cobblestone streets. It's just a place for wandering Vilnius and getting lost. So that's half the fun of it, for sure.
Okay.
And one thing I should mention, a definite day trip just outside the city, which is very close, actually, within 30 minutes, maybe even closer to 20 minutes, is to Trakai, which is a village which houses a gorgeous medieval castle located on an island in the middle of a lake. So really picturesque and great in the summer. People are out there sailing, canoeing, swimming. So just a really great atmosphere, especially in the summer. And one of the things we offer that you'll often see while you're out there, and also in the city in Vilnius, is hot air balloon rides that take you over Trakai and also over Vilnius. So a great way to see the city from above and get a really amazing vantage point.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the episode photo that I show here for the episode is Trakai, because it is a beautiful, looks like brick castle, rebuilt, I'm reading, in the 1800s, but originally from the 1400s. So it really does look like a straight out of the Middle Ages sort of place.
Yeah, fairy tale stuff and a must see. A half day trip, like I said, maybe 20 minute to 30 minute drive. So you could easily spend a full day there if you got out on the water and everything, but just to visit the castle, have a nice lunch out there. There's a couple nice restaurants on the water. So yeah, definite when going to Vilnius.
Well, and you bring up restaurants. Before we leave Vilnius, I imagine the food scene would be worth talking about. And I do not know Lithuanian food, so I don't know what kind of food I should go and where I should go.
Yeah, I sampled plenty of it this summer in the month I was there. And
Doing the hard work for us. I appreciate that.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. So yeah, food-wise, a number one, their sort of claim to fame dish is called a zeppelina. And it's essentially a sort of mashed potato kind of hardened with different things inside, whether it be cabbage, whether it be meat. And it's thick and heavy. And afterwards, you're going to feel like you have a brick in your stomach. But it's really tasty. I know it sounds not too appetizing by the feeling, but it's heavy and delicious.
And this is spelled with a C. It's C-E-P-E-L-I-N-A. IA, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but it is pronounced, as you said, Zeppelin, and is really named after Zeppelins. It may not be as light as airships, but it is named after them.
And it has the shape, so it's consistent. So that's your number one. And otherwise, one thing in the summer that's great to try is a cold beetroot soup, very refreshing. They like their heavy foods, so things like game dishes. I've actually eaten beaver there, which was very interesting for the first time, and you name it, any other kind of game you can think of, really. And things like potato pancakes, which are delicious, dark breads, dark rye breads, very green area outside the city, so a lot of mushrooms in the dishes. Mushroom picking is a big event in Lithuania. And if you get to the coast, a big thing is smoked fish, which we'll talk about a little bit later when we talk about the coast. Otherwise, drink-wise, they have some local liquors to try. There's a pretty big craft beer scene. So if you're a beer lover, I was very impressed this last trip just to see how much the restaurant scene had developed there. A lot of great international restaurants. So a good mix, not only of the local, but a variety of international choices.
Any favorite restaurants to recommend in the city?
Sure. I've got an A number one, without a doubt, kind of a more fine dining. You do sort of tasting menu theme there. And again, let me see if I pronounce this right, but Džigausmas.
Okay.
Yeah. Džigausmas. That was excellent. And I did a tasting menu there. And a little bit international menu with sort of a Lithuanian flair to it. But that's a must try. And if you want to get your zeppelina fill, the one sort of famous name in the city, which has a couple of, I think, three locations. Let me try again on pronunciation. Šnekutis is kind of well known around the city. It's like a pub. So you get your craft beer, your zeppelina, very cheap. So a good place to try the local food.
Okay, got it. And is that where we're going to get our beaver, or is that a different restaurant?
The beaver I had at a place called Lokys, L-O-K-Y-S. And that's in that Jewish quarter I had mentioned.
Okay.
So you can get a table outside in front on the beautiful cobblestone street, like perfect place for dining outside and eating beaver.
All right. If you say so, sir, where are we going to after Vilnius?
Okay, after Vilnius, we'll head to Kaunas, which is quite close. You're there within a couple hours. So some people do it as a day trip. Certainly can warrant a couple overnights. Don't need much more than that. It's sort of the little brother to Vilnius. It was the former capital way back when, and it's actually going to be the European Capital of Culture in 2022.
Oh, interesting.
Which says a lot. Hmm. That's a big distinction, no doubt. I would say Kaunas is a little more laid back. It's probably half the size of Vilnius. Still certainly plenty to see. Great city, again, very walkable like Vilnius. Has a very impressive castle, the Kaunas Castle, which is worth seeing. I think the highlight of the city is the Old Town. Similar to Vilnius, very colorful in the Old Town. Probably one of the most interesting buildings is the Town Hall, which is in a pretty sizable main square there. One thing I noticed walking around Kaunas was some great street art. So something unique that you can enjoy, a little different. And there's one long boulevard which leads up to the Old Town, which is great for a walk, called the Freedom Boulevard. And it's lined with trees in the middle. And on either side, you'll find restaurants and cafes. So really pleasant place to sit and have a coffee or a wine and watch people go by, basically. And one other site to check out, there's an old school funicular railroad that runs up one of the hills in Kaunas. And at the top, you get to one of the churches, which you go to the rooftop, and there's some great views over the city. So again, certainly enough to see, probably a full day's worth. So I think kind of max two nights there.
Okay.
So after Kaunas, we'll make our way to Klaipėda, which is kind of the biggest city on the Baltic Sea, on the Lithuanian coast. And Klaipėda is more or less known for its architecture there, which is a German style of architecture known as Fauchwerk, which are basically houses made out of timber and very colorful designs on the roofs, which stand out. So the Old Town there is very distinct because of the architecture.
Well, and you say distinct, you mean distinct from other Lithuanian towns. And I think when I took one look at it, I said, this is part of the Hanseatic League. This looks like one of the other trading cities that you'll find along the Baltic and along the coast going as far over as Bergen, Norway, that we're all trading with each other and trading ideas also. And it was, and it looks like it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it reminds me of one of the other destinations we offer, Gdansk in Poland. Mm-hmm. Also exactly. Part of the Hanseatic League. So otherwise in Klaipėda, not a ton of sites. The port sits on the water. It was the main trading port for Lithuania. There's a famous swinging bridge, which every, I think it's 15 minutes or so, opens up, and a guy actually opens it up with a crank. So it's sort of a big event that you sit and watch and wait
for. And it's swinging because it is a drawbridge that goes sideways?
Or? Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it.
Also in Klaipėda, there's the Memel Castle, so another castle to go along with the castle theme in Lithuania. So yeah, Klaipėda primarily, I mean, definitely sort of a half day checking out the town and just a very pleasant place to stay in the evening. Definitely a happening atmosphere on the port with the restaurants. But the main reason to stay there is it's a gateway to the Curonian Spit, which is an UNESCO World Heritage Site. And it's essentially a 50-mile long, I guess you'd call it like an isthmus or sort of peninsula that runs down the Baltic Sea right towards Russia and Kaliningrad. So you definitely want to spend a day out as a day trip from Klaipėda on the Curonian Spit. Really beautiful, untouched nature there. You take a ferry across the lagoon to the Spit from Klaipėda. It's a car ferry. Or a passenger, but 50 miles you're going to want to be with a driver driving on your own. Or a lot of people do choose to bike it, actually. And at the south of the Curonian Spit is a really charming fishing village called Nida. And it's just a really calm place to go. And you kind of feel like you're stepping back in time when you go into Nida. And there's really colorful wooden houses on the water. And a lot of the smoked fish. Every other restaurant has a smoker going where they smoke the fish. And it's really just a relaxed spot. So the idea on the Curonian Spit is just a day out in nature, very relaxing. another highlight of the Curonians, but definitely is the sand dunes there, mm-hmm. which are really spectacular. And you can walk up and down the dunes. And once you get to the summit of one of them, you got spectacular views over the spit itself and the sea. And you're more at one of the southern points, so you can look over to one side and there's Russia, which is kind of exciting. Kind of no man's land, if you will.
And when you say there's Russia, that's going to be a little confusing.
Sorry.
If you have good geography knowledge, because you're talking about Kaliningrad, which is an oblast. It is a region of Russia that is surrounded by Poland and Lithuania, not connected to the rest of Russia.
Exactly. Not easy to get over there, but easy to view from a distance. So yes, very close by.
Well, and when you describe this, the spit, I'm not sure that everyone's got the same mental picture. Some of you are looking at the pictures, so you're looking at a map, so you know what he's talking about here. But it is this long, thin strip of land, like a barrier island, that cuts across a bay that is predominantly Kaliningrad and a little bit of Lithuania, and just a little tiny narrow piece of land there on the Baltic.
Yeah, like I said, about 50 miles long, so you can drive it in about an hour top to bottom.
Got it. Well, and you were talking about the distances not being that long. I think we figured out that the size of Lithuania is about the size of West Virginia. So to put it in perspective, about 150 times smaller than the U.S., give or take.
Yeah. So
nothing's very far.
Nothing's very far. I mean, maximum drive, maybe 4 or 5 hours on any itinerary. And good roads in mm-hmm. terms of getting in between places. We tend to have people take actually private drivers because we find cost to be very reasonable in that area. So I think it is worth splurging for someone to drive you. But, you know, if you wanted to save some money and travel quite reasonably, actually buses tend to be the more economical and popular way to travel versus trains. And there's a very good bus company called LuxBus, which can get you between all the cities, and very modern buses. They have Wi-Fi on board, very comfortable seats. They actually have two classes of seats. And especially nowadays with safety and kind of keeping distance, you can pay an additional something like $10 and get an upgraded section where you get your own row and reclining chair. So very comfortable and easy way to travel. And there are trains. It just does take longer generally.
Hmm. And you say LuxBus. We're talking LUX as in luxury, I imagine.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, LUX. Yeah,
got exactly. It.
So after, as I said, typically the only airport people will fly in and out of is Vilnius. So after Klaipeda, you would make your way back to Vilnius, but we would recommend detouring a little bit. And this could be on your way back to Vilnius or also a day trip from Klaipeda, but there's actually a former Soviet missile base, I think about an hour and a half from Klaipeda, which I think is well worth the look. I mean, how often do you get to see a nuclear missile base? So yeah, there you go. And the silos are still there and you can go inside and walk through the tunnels of the missile base and see where they were thinking to launch. And you see where they stayed and all the machinery and radios. And it's a really cool experience to see something really unique like a nuclear missile base. So we definitely recommend that.
Excellent.
Another stop on the way from Klaipeda going back to Vilnius is to the Hill of Crosses, which is, again, another unique site to stop. It's essentially a pilgrimage spot that's about 200 years old, built on a hill where people come, again, as a pilgrimage and leave crosses. So over time, there's been about, I think, over 200,000 crosses left. So again, not something you see every day, very unique site, and you can go and climb through all the various crosses, and definitely a good photo op and I think something worth to see on the way.
Well, and as I understand the history of that is this is a place that in 1831, you said 200 years ago, almost 200 years ago, there was an uprising for trying to free this part of the world from Russia. obviously Tsarist Russia at the time, during the time when Lithuania and Poland both disappeared from the map, and it was unsuccessful. And this is basically one of the hill forts where they were, I believe, wiped out. I'm not sure about that, but they certainly were not victorious in that uprising. Didn't happen until much later.
Yeah. So that's located, I think, approximately about 2.5 hours outside of Vilnius. And we typically, because we often have people combine Lithuania, Vilnius, with the rest of the Baltics, with Latvia, with Estonia. And typically, from Vilnius to the capital of Latvia, Riga, the Hill of Crosses is kind of midway. So we tend to have people always make that as a stop between those two cities. So it could be part of a Lithuania itinerary or a very convenient stop connecting Vilnius and Riga.
The other thing I was reading, as you're talking here, I'm reading that when the Soviets were here, they bulldozed the hill 3 times to wipe out all the crosses. Because this was basically a symbol of Lithuanian independence, and they weren't so keen on the idea. And so one of the reasons it's so popular now is, at least at the time, Lithuania does have their independence and are enjoying that freedom to be able to put those back up and remember some of those who fought to get it for them. If fought successfully or unsuccessfully, they still fought for it.
Yeah, definitely worth a stop. Something I think very unique to Lithuania, certainly. Coming back to Vilnius, maybe spend a night before you take your flight home. But I think that would, a week, 10 days, if you really took it slowly and sort of took your time, had that extra day in places just to really hang out, if you will, and take it easy in the town. So I think a week to 10 days is about the right amount of time to cover Lithuania.
Excellent. One more history note before we get to some of our wrap-up questions. You were talking about the castle in Klaipeda, Melmel Castle, and I happen to notice it's a Teutonic Knight castle. And that's interesting because one of the things the Teutonic Knights did is they basically had a crusade against Lithuania. So it's yet another time when people were picking on Lithuania, basically because Lithuania was pagan at the time. And so it was a crusade against them. And so that castle was not built for tourism, but built basically to control that land coming in from the west. They would have been based out of Malbork Castle, which you can still visit in nearby Poland. Excellent. Anything else we want to talk about before we get to some of our wrap-up questions?
No, I think that covers it itinerary-wise. And like I said, small country, a lot of experiences. So that week or 10 days should allow you to really hit all the highlights and then some.
Excellent. Well, and I'm going to admit at this point that Jay is being very nice because he's actually coming back on the show within a week because we had some technical difficulties and lost an episode. The one thing you mentioned last time that you didn't mention this time was the ethnographic museum.
Okay.
I think outside of Kaunas.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, a place to go if you want to kind of step back in time to the old days of Lithuania. They have the old village, the old houses people used to live in, people dressed in costume. So it just gives you a feel for what life was like 100 plus years ago, back in the village days of Lithuania. And it's located, just outside of Kaunas, and even an easy day trip from Vilnius as well. So for history buffs and people who like to have that feel of the medieval days, that's certainly an option.
And I appreciate when he says for history buffs, he's really saying for me. So, and I noticed as I'm looking at pictures of that particular museum, all the pictures have snow in them, which brings me to another question of when would you recommend someone goes to Lithuania?
Yeah, very important note. I was there in June into July. Certainly any time from about late April, May till, let's say, early October, the latitude of Lithuania is a lot farther north than you might expect. So during the summer, very long days. I mean, when I was there in June, I was there also for the solstice. Sunset would be around, I think, 10:30, 11 o'clock. so quite late. So the benefit of that certainly is you can enjoy very full, long, sunny days. You can really do a lot in one day. So, but the flip side of that is from late October, November till March, April, there's a lot of darkness and it's cold. So certainly a more seasonal place. So again, I think sort of that middle of spring till start of autumn is the time to go there, with the summer months being weather-wise never too hot. Maybe a max, a hot day might be 80 to 85 at the really peak. So I think that sort of June, July, August, September are ideal weather-wise, and again with the length of the days.
Well, and people might be caught a little off guard in terms of what the latitude is, because Europe is so much further north. I mean, there are certainly places further north of this, Finland and Sweden and Norway, for instance. But in Vilnius, which is in the southern part of the country, we're further north than Edmonton, Alberta. So we're further north than pretty much all the major cities in Canada, for those of you who are coming in from North America. So it is going to have a little chillier weather.
Yeah, I think just to put it in perspective for most Americans, essentially Madrid and New York are on the same latitude, so that might help you.
Yeah, which always surprises me every time it comes up. But
I'll never forget the first time I heard that. It stuck with me.
So. Yeah, exactly. Excellent. You are standing in the prettiest spot in Lithuania, Jay. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Yeah, I'll go back to the hot air balloons. I'm standing in probably late evening, well, summertime. It's probably 8, 9 o'clock. The sun's lower in the sky, not quite sunset yet, but the sun's going down. I'm sitting in a cafe, probably on the town hall square or somewhere around there, sipping on a wine. And above me are 15, 20 colorful hot air balloons hovering over this picturesque old town. So really spectacular sight.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Lithuania.
Only in Lithuania. I would have to go back to this Užupis. Just the quirkiness of the place and the fact that they name their own republic, and just all the little kinks and quirkiness you'll find walking around that town. It's a good laugh.
Interesting. I'm pretty sure this is probably not something that the Soviets put up with when they were there, but
No, it came after.
Yeah.
I think it was erected in 95 or something.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Lithuania in just three words, what three words are you going to use?
Surprising. I think I was surprised with a few things there. You know, the level of English was very good.
Oh, I forgot to ask. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So very good English there. I think how developed it is, being a former USSR country, and really just the tourism infrastructure, as I mentioned earlier. So certainly surprising, definitely atmospheric, just that feeling you'll have in these beautiful little towns with the colors and the cobblestone streets and the beautiful architecture. And then probably variety, for mm-hmm. a variety of experiences you can have, from the old town in Vilnius to the Baltic Sea to the Curonian Spit to a missile base to a Hill of Crosses. So really a lot of variety there and a lot of different things to see.
Excellent. Well, our guest again has been Jay from jwaytravel.com, and I will toot Jay's horn here a little bit so he doesn't have to, because I've had a chance, as I said, to use J-Way a couple times. J-Way was for about 2 years the sponsor of the show that was getting all the transcripts done for Amateur Travelers. So if you ever find a transcript for an older episode, you have Jay to thank for that. But we used them for a trip to Croatia and thoroughly enjoyed our trip there, and in part enjoyed what they set up. And this was a trip not in a group trip. You tend to do more the kind of things that I like to do, which is an independent travel, but doing all the work for us.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then we also use them for the Amateur Traveler trip to Prague, Krakow, and Budapest, because again, that's a region where they specialize. And so we met members of your team in each of those cities who were located in those cities and familiar with the customs, the language and such, and then traveled in between. Didn't have a whole tour guide for the whole thing, as we normally do for one of those trips, but it worked well to work with somebody who worked in all of those countries when you're doing something that is crossing those kind of borders.
Absolutely.
If we had to ask you for the best resource at jwaytravel.com for Lithuania, where are you going to send us?
We have our sales team who've all been there personally, so can certainly speak from experience. So they'll be happy to get on the phone with you, and you can find us at www.jaywaytravel.com, jaywaytravel.com. You can reach us there, call us by phone or email, and we'll be happy to set you up with one of our travel advisors who'd be more than happy to run through an itinerary for you and customize it exactly to your specific needs.
Excellent. Well, Jay, thank you so much for coming back on the show and then back again on the show and talking to us about your love for Lithuania.
It was even better the second time.
It was.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
In news of the community, first a shout out to the patrons of the show who help support the show. I just spent some time on an interview today with one of the patrons who's going to be on talking about French Polynesia coming up in a couple weeks, and that was great fun. For the show that we did recently on Brazil, I heard from Marco, who said, "Hi, Chris, how are you? Hope you are okay. My name is Marco from Brazil. First, I would like to congratulate your podcast, Amateur Traveler. I listen to all the episodes, especially at this time where there are restrictions on travel. I'm a food scientist and engineer, and my wife has a travel agency for more than 20 years. Today, I heard your podcast about Fernando G. Noronha Archipelago, and congratulations, that is one of the most beautiful places that I have ever been to in my life. I have been there 5 times, and the first was 21 years ago. A lot of things changed there, but it is still beautiful and great. I have some comments and reviews. First, the destination is for nature lovers, not only for diving. Second, it's not a rainy tropical island. To tell you the truth, it's very dry most of the year, and raining period is concentrated in May, June, and July only. Third, rent a beach buggy is the best way to move inside the island, but also you can rent a bike and motorcycle too, or rent a simple car. Fourth, I missed some very good and important historical facts as well. Originally, it was a Portuguese colony that was invaded and dominated by the Dutch for more than 20 years. Fifth, things to do, not only beach and diving, you can have a guide and make a day tour inside the preserved area with great views and deserted beaches. And thanks so much, Marco, and I'll put Marco's whole letter in the show notes. I also heard from Randy, who said, "I really enjoyed this episode. I've actually spent some time in northern Brazil and Belém and in the Amazon, and yet had never heard of Fernando G. Noronha before listening to that episode. Certainly makes me want to visit there. This is one of the many things I love about the Amateur Traveler. I learn about new places to travel." And Randy, thanks so much. That is what I love to hear. My wife works in healthcare, and tomorrow they're actually going to start giving inoculations for COVID-19 to people at her hospital where she is. And so we're starting to actually plan some travel for next year. We think she's going to have a vaccine. When I'm going to get one, we don't know. But we have some trips planned to the Galapagos in May and to Tanzania, it sounds like, in June. Both are just a little tentative right now, depending on me getting a vaccine before I get on a plane. But if you're starting to plan travel, remember the resources at amateurtraveler.com/affiliates. You could potentially get some better deals. We have some discounts in there, and also it will help support the Amateur Traveler. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening. One more cathedral, I got to sit in one more cafe.